Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's time for another toy department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. I think Kolsky's ready to kill me. We haven't started the pod, but I feel like you're already at the end of your rope.
Not at all. You're the one who's been angry. I'm not angry. I just don't think we should. Even by doing this, you're heading us in an unfortunate direction.
All right, we had a golf conversation before the pod, so you can guess where it went. I don't think we really need to get into it.
Yeah, it went to you screaming about how awful golf is.
It really is the worst. It is the worst. Your refusal to acknowledge it is a betrayal of our friendship. I feel like.
I'm sorry, but I keep trying to be as judicious as possible in telling you I understand your position. And I am.
This is not a moment that requires judiciousness, man. This is a moment that requires.
But I.
This requires bold condemnation.
That's not coming.
All right, we have a lot of other things to talk about. I'll probably boldly condemn something or other before we're done with this. But I think we ought to just start with the Game of Thrones. No.
Yeah.
I like to, even though this episode was also a setup episode, I think we were all expecting that. I like this one much better than the first week. Did you?
I liked the first week more than you did, but I agree this was better, and I agree it was very good.
I do feel like I was a little unsure after watching it, like why they didn't just make the first two, you know, minus a scene or two, just one episode. You know what I mean?
I guess. I don't know. I think maybe people really sort of underrated. Like, I feel like episode one suffered from the expectations of whatever 18 months that it had been since the last time there was a new episode, if that makes sense.
I think that's part of it.
A lot of things actually, there were a lot of scenes, and I know everyone's like, all anyone did was have a reunion. But those reunions had to happen for us to do what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the first episode gives you this, because that's all there was, gives you this whole sense of, like, we're doing the things that we have to do because we have to do them, and then we'll get to the story. You know what I mean? Whereas this one, to me, advanced the game, if you will, if you're looking at the whole thing as a game, advanced it forward. And that's why I feel like together they would have made a very good episode, because you would understand they did the stuff they had to do. But this one had much more forward momentum to me.
Okay. All right. Fine. Cool. Great. But also, I'm just not sure the characters were in this. Like, we saw a lot of stuff we knew in the first episode, but the characters had to meet and learn things, and like that, I don't know. I'm just not as down on what happened there. I feel like it was necessary setup. It was more setup and less advanced, but it was still necessary. And yeah, could they were both like 50 something minutes, right? Could they have been 100 and, or not 100? Could they have been an hour and 20, an hour and 40? But I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm fine with it.
Because next week is going to be an hour and 30. You know what I mean? So, it's not like they can't do that. In fact, I think that's going to be
90 minutes. So the longest one is like 82 or something like that.
Oh, is that true? Really?
Yeah.
That's not what I had heard going in.
The rumors became like tall tales sort of deal.
Gotcha.
But I believe the running times remaining are like 82, 80, 78. or something like that.
Did you have any particular favorite moments this week?
Oh man, I guess. Oh, sorry, I was looking this up. So it was 54, 58, 60, and then it's going to go 78, 80, 80.
Wow. So that's, yeah, I figured there would be a 90 in there somewhere, but.
No.
Sounds like not.
So, all right. So I guess, did I have a favorite part? Look, I love Arya, and the sex scene, good for her. I don't have a problem with it. She can do what she wants to do. We've seen much more horrifying, like we've seen younger characters subjected to non-consensual sex.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's let Arya live her life.
Also, everyone's thinking it's like maybe their last night on Earth or wherever, mm-hmm. whatever planet this is.
Why shouldn't she experience the joys of carnal intercourse? Anyway,
I had no problem with that either.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it, and it was a little. There was a little bit of like, oh, my sister's about to bone, but you know, like it's your fake TV sister. It's not your real sister. Chill out, everybody.
Also, we've watched her murder like dozens of
That's
people.
So American.
And everyone's like, cool.
Right. It's so American to be like, slit some throats for God's sakes. Why are you getting naked?
By the way, one of the more transparent body double uses I felt like on the show.
You think?
That we've seen. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Why?
The angles that they were using, you know, like the from behind and then like,
I thought
now you don't really see the head and yeah, I 1,000% think
those
were body doubles.
I thought that was actually just they shot that angle because they didn't want to use a body double and they didn't want to actually force Maisie Williams into full frontal nudity.
Yeah, no, they body doubled her up. They, you know, even the shame sequence was a body double. They just digitized her head onto it.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Whatever. I don't care. Okay. The point is, I was less worried about the sex part of it than just, like, her whole thing. Every time she's on the screen, she's the hero of the show to me. I love every minute of it. I also...
She's like your anti-Bran.
Yes, she's my anti-Bran.
I've come,
also
you know,
how
Bran is way more tolerable
Tormund.
Now. By the way, I feel like
what'd you say?
I do feel like Bran has become more tolerable as the Three-Eyed Raven than he was just as Bran.
I think only because it's like crossed the Rubicon to it's almost like a comedy where it's like, guys, I'm not Bran. Okay, Bran, whatever.
Yeah, it's true. He doesn't have to keep reminding people.
Bran, chill. Come on. Guys, I'm trying. Look, we're about to die. There's literally hundreds of thousands of dead people, and I'm not Bran. Bran, calm down.
I really feel like when Jon Snow and Daenerys were having the conversation with where he reveals the information, and she's like, But the only people who told you this are your brother and your best friend. I was almost surprised that he was like, he's not my brother.
No, he's not Bran. I mean. No, but A, she's kind of right, but also we know it's true. No, but I think other than that, other than Arya, and again, whether it's the Gendry thing, her conversation with the Hound, and she's like, I'm not going to spend my last hours on Earth with you two miserable old shits. This was a funny episode, I thought.
Yes.
And all of the Tormund stuff. The guy who does Tormund, that story about when he's like, I killed a giant, and then I got in bed with his wife, and do you know what I did? And and you're like, good God, a 10-year-old, he boned a giant's wife. And then he's like, I suckled at her teat for 10 months. Oh, man. And then he chugs the whole horn of, like, super strong grain alcohol that he's been brewing himself somehow during all of this escaping from the dragon at the wall. And that's his, like, peacock move to win Brienne over. It's just beautiful, man.
Yeah. Do you think it worked?
No. I think maybe his general... He has a certain charm, and I think that has worked to some degree, but I do not think the chugging of the disgusting liquor liquid was a good move.
I do feel like there was a little hyperbole in that story. 10 months is a really long time when you're like 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The whole thing, he's a gem, man.
He's one of those guys that you know you're happy to see every time they show up on screen. You know, much like Leanna Mormo, like who's like PER in the show is like off the charts.
And she just, boy, did she, man, I'm worried about Leanna is all I'll say.
You know, I'm not super worried about Leanna. Do you want to get into the, like, who we're worried about situation here? Or not?
I guess. Oy vey. It frays my nerves. This show, and I see, this is where I think I'll disagree with other people, because if we go into next week and come out with, you know, almost everybody still alive, I'm not going to be upset, because this show has gotten me to a point where I am convinced that everyone's going to die.
Well, and do you say that you won't be disappointed just because you're invested in these characters and their journey? Or
well, also because, like, what's the point of everyone dying? There's no real excitement. Well, isn't that
the message of the show? You know what I mean? That, like, life is hard and brutal and unforgiving, and to die in a noble way is the best you can do.
Are you serious? Is that a meaningful message to you?
You know, I don't know. I think that's a big thing the show seems to have hammered home, I feel like.
Well, I think that's the state of things within the world, but are you worried about the message of Game of Thrones?
I'm not super worried about the message of Game of Thrones. Okay, I think Game of Thrones is trying to, you know, say things about the world and about power and about, you know, like, I think breaking the wheel, the idea of breaking the wheel is a big message within the show, no?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with people. What are we talking about?
Sure it does. Anyway.
What are you talking about? You're saying...
Wait, what?
Here's what I'm saying. you had a totally different conversation, that I don't totally understand.
Okay,
but all I was trying to say is, to me, I don't think I have one time thought about the message George Martin or Benioff and Weiss are trying to send about the world by murdering characters all the time. Like, I don't think that's crossed my mind a single time.
Oh, it's definitely crossed my mind.
What I was saying was, I think the primary effect of that is the excitement and trepidation and anticipation of anything could happen. Any of these people could die.
Yeah.
And I have that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
look, I have that in spades.
That is
and
part of
it. It doesn't really matter if they end up dying or not. I'm still pumped up and excited all week long getting ready for this episode, and I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for the episode on Sunday. Right. So what do I care if they end up dying or not at this point? We're 4 episodes from the end of this thing. I can care less about that. In fact, there are so many people I'm attached to. I'd almost rather see plenty of them survive, but
I mean, some of them, I
don't... show has conditioned us to believe it's going to be an apocalypse.
Well, and I think too, just in terms of, all right, there are a couple things to unpack there. The first is, if they go battle, like, let's just say hypothetically that they go battle the Army of the Dead and, like, it goes super well. You know what I mean? Like, that Bran draws the Night King out of the open and Jon Snow stabs him with dragon glass, and the army all crumbles, and that happens in 5 minutes. You'd probably not be super happy with that outcome, right? Like, there's a certain death toll that needs to happen just to sort of make the story, you know, make the enemy pay off, really make it a battle, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a battle and it comes out and it's just a bunch of, you know, grunt soldiers die and everyone important lives, like, doesn't that feel, that's going to feel like a cheat, no?
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that's a possibility.
I don't think it is either, but I'm just saying some level of death is necessary sort of for the story to pay off, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. I was being as hyperbolic as you like to be about golf.
I'm not hyperbolic about golf.
Something has to happen. Like, it's obviously, if like the armies of the dead storm the gates and, you know, Arya taps the Night King on the shoulder and stabs him and it's all over, then that would be a letdown. Yeah. I've been told it's the greatest battle in the history of recorded anything.
Right.
So,
and even if there were, but also, like, you know, like I said, like, if, like, let's say huge battle, nobody important dies.
It would strain credulity to the point that, of course. But I think in many ways, this show has me in a place where I am worried 5 or 7 of my favorite characters could die next week. That is more important than 5 or 7 of my favorite characters actually dying next week.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah, like, this is, it's almost like this is the, you know, the time in between the show really matters in a way, you know what I mean? But all right, I want to get into it right now. I feel like this is a good time to sort of break it down, because I do feel like the show dropped a few hints in terms of, like, people who may be eating it, you know what I mean?
And you didn't think Lyanna Mormont was one of them?
Oh, no, I definitely think Lyanna Mormont is a possibility. I just think she's going to live. You know what I mean? Okay. Like,
all right. Because I thought we got, of all the things that they spent time on in a pretty jam-packed episode, the whole, like, no, I'm going out there.
Yeah. I think that the two Mormonts getting together was like the one reunion that they didn't manage to squeeze into the first episodes. So they needed to do that at some point, right?
Yeah, but they could have done that with a conversation about, you know, his dad or any number of things, to have it be like, please don't go out there. Oh, no, I'm going out there. It was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. So, I think, first of all, the crypt, right? Like, the notion that the crypt is, you know, with the women and children is going to be the safe place seems to me to be inherently flawed. Right?
Yeah, that's not good, man.
So you got to wonder about anybody who is sent down there.
Like, I can definitely see a line, like a morbid line in the next episode about, like, boy, the crypt sure became a crypt sort of a thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, and also, there's all those dead people down there, right? So, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Can they reanimate those dead people?
I don't know. Like, so. Wow.
Oh, God, that's a terrifying thing to think about.
Yeah. Like, there's, so.
Boy, that little girl who's protecting the crypt could have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. Well, and so, if you were, you know, I don't know, we're not necessarily doing predictions for next week, but I'll go ahead and make one. I feel like Arya is going to save a lot of people down there. That's going to be her role in this thing.
That makes sense, I suppose.
Although,
you don't think she's going to be... So you don't think she could... She might face swap Bran. Well, I guess he'd have to be dead, but he isn't Bran. How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know that she could face swap the Three-Eyed Raven, who can also ward, right? So, like...
But I'm saying, and then just... be the bait and stab the Night King. Like, I was thinking Arya might be involved in going after the Night King.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, there's also the whole Bran is the Night King theory, right?
Which, yeah.
You can't really rule out.
You know, I gotta say, I don't have a lot of hopes or expectations, but one of them is definitely that that's not the case, because then they would have just lied to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Also,
I'm not into, like.
Also, I'm hoping deeply that the entire story of the series turns on Bran. I'm hoping that's not the case. So.
Well, not only that, but also just like you showed us the Night King getting made.
Yeah.
You told us how these people came about. Don't then give me the like, well, time is a flat circle. Like, how many shows have done that? I don't need that.
But I mean, obviously, for the Three-Eyed Raven, time sort of is a flat circle. That's kind of his thing, right?
Right. So. But then don't tell us that actually everything we've lived, we live again. Like I don't want to.
No, you know me. I would be super disappointed in that if that's the way we're going. All right. So I'm going to throw a few people out there, some people I'm definitively worried about. The first is Grey Worm.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the middle of battle, and then, like...
You're planning a beach vacation, dog?
Yeah, dude. Like, the second he started talking about that, I'm like, oh, no, don't say that, Grey Worm.
Brutal.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like he's real high on the list.
Hot take?
Yeah.
Sande's the one who dies instead.
Possible. Possible. But I feel like she's going to witness him dying.
I'm imagining Grey Worm. That's a great misdirect opportunity for them.
Agreed.
She's watching Grey Worm in a fight for his life, potentially about to die. He wins against all odds, only to watch her get stabbed through the back.
that can definitely happen.
That's what happened in my brain when they were having that conversation about like the beach would be nice.
Yeah. Also, people who had nice moments, Brienne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get knighted.
And it just felt like that was a moment that sort of really completed her arc in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? So.
And Tormund's never going to get any, so I almost feel like he's going to die too, which also breaks my heart.
Agreed. I feel like he is very, very much in the line of fire. And, right, there's probably as much Tormund in that episode. As any you can think of, right? You know what I mean? So,
yeah, he got his star turn before his send off, and I kind of think Tyrion's dead too.
Well, I think that to me Tyrion's whole thing, right? Like that was to me sort of baked into that crypt thing, right? The whole conversation about you need to be in the crypt where it's safe.
Right.
Means it's going to be very unsafe for the crypt. Yes. Yeah, so.
And it's gone too well.
Right.
He's got Jorah getting his back now. Like, this, it can't be this good.
Well, I think Jorah's definitely also in the line of fire as well. Right.
Could
like,
be.
His signing off on Tyrion being the hand, you know what I mean? Like, feels like my last act of loyalty, right? And selflessness.
What happens if they're both gone?
See, I sort of think that Tyrion escapes the crypt. Like Tyrion and Arya survive the crypt. That's kind of the way I feel like it's going to go. Because I feel like you're going to need Tyrion for the what happens to the throne portion of this season.
So what about Jaime?
Jamie less so. I feel like there's a good chance Jamie's gonna die this week.
Could Jamie, Brienne, and Tormund all sort of die together?
But quite possible, yeah. Quite possible. Like his saying, "I'd be proud to fight for you." You know, at the end of like as great as he is, he's still a guy out there in one hand fighting the army of the dead, right? So, and then
one hand.
Like I almost don't you feel like his death is almost sort of necessary to put Cersei in a certain place whenever that comes back around, whenever the political needs of the living come back around, right? Like I feel like I don't know
that what see if the living survive, why would they talk to Cersei?
Well, because Cersei's still on the throne at the moment,
yeah,
right?
They're just gonna kill her. They're just gonna burn her alive.
Oh yeah!
Why
look,
I negotiate. She already fucked. She has been the worst.
Oh yeah! Look, I'm not saying they're going to be friends, but like,
no, but I'm,
there's
like,
going to be some interaction between the parties at that point. You
oh,
know
I don't
I mean?
Know. I feel like it's just war.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need a negotiator.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, don't you think that like her the loss of her finally like they're finally out. You know what I mean? And together, and then she sends him away, and he gets killed. Like, don't you think that is going to inform whatever her like motivation and interaction is in when they do battle later on.
Definitely, but you don't need Tyrion for that.
No, you don't need Tyrion for that. No, I agree. Tyrion you need for how the Tyrion's going to be the one that tells you how to do it, right? It's not just going to be like, hey, let's go carpet bomb him with whatever dragons we have left.
Oh, I think that's what it is.
Wouldn't that be a short episode?
Well, I'm not saying it's all going to go exactly as
right?
planned.
You got to figure out how you're going to deal with the Golden Company, and you got to figure out how you're going to deal with the Iron Islands people, and like you need Tyrion for that stuff.
Well, but or maybe you don't have him, and that's why it's harder.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying I guarantee that Tyrion's going to survive. He's very much in danger, but if I'm guessing, I feel like he makes it out.
Well, this is what's pretty awesome. This is what the point I was making, right? Is like, how many shows in the history of ever have you been 8 seasons in and you can make a convincing argument that literally every significant character could die in the next episode?
Well, it's I mean, I agree that is true, but you also sort of have to factor in that, like, how many shows have this many characters that you're invested in, right? Like, just the scale and the scope of this show is so much bigger than, you know, Breaking Bad, right?
But forget the number. Forget the number.
You know, which, by the way, is a show where I felt like, you know, like, that was a show, oddly enough, where, like, the main character, there was almost certainty that the main character was going to die, but probably also lots of other people, you know what I mean? So you sort of wondered.
There was never a moment where it was like anybody could be dead next week. And not just anybody, but 8 anybodies.
Yeah, you're right. There probably wasn't a moment of 8 anybodies. I would say maybe on The Sopranos, there were a couple moments where you're like...
And it's not even just the 8. It's the, like, pretty much 100%, with the possible exception of John or Daenerys, but honestly, I could imagine either of them dying. Not both, but either.
Yeah, I think those two are some of the few that I would take off the board. Like, I don't feel like there's much chance that either one of those two are going to die.
How high would the odds have to be for you to bet?
Oh, man. How high? Are you talking about, like, are we talking about actual money? Where it's like how much for me to put some money down?
Yeah.
I'd somewhere in the 20 to 25 to 1 range, I'd throw some money down.
Like, that's not, that's better. I believe you can get, like, the odds are higher for, say, the Blazers certainly to win the Western Conference. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what would you put the odds of the? Actually, you know what? We can just look that up, right?
Yeah, that was a guess, but like, I was gonna say the Rockets, but they're probably more like 10 to 1 for a title.
I think less than that at this point.
Whatever it is.
I'm looking at
my point is just like, if we track that to sports, like, that's not that high. You know what I mean? The fact that 20 to 1 would get it done, that's pretty likely.
Okay, odds as of 9:51 this morning, the Blazers are 20 to 1. So there you go. And the Rockets are 7 to 1. To win the title. To win the West, the Blazers are 10 to 1.
Oh, okay. That's not a good bet.
Rockets are 7 to 2.
That's not a good bet either. None of these are good bets. Anyway, I'm just saying that the fact that we'd make the odds similar to the Blazers winning a title, which, while not likely, is, like, conceivable.
Yeah.
That's the point, I think.
All right. Well, yeah, that's fair enough. All right, I want to throw a few more characters at you, because there's a couple more who I think are high possibilities to die.
Yeah, like Walter White could have died eventually, right? But he wasn't going to die 5 episodes before the series ended.
Yeah, that's fair. that's fair. But, like, he was going to die, right? You know, maybe Sopranos is the best allegory, right? Because that was a show where it did really feel like there was a high probability that anyone could die at some point. But there was not. There was no episode where there was a high probability where everyone was going to die. You know what I mean?
Or like, there was never an episode where, like, man, it feels like Tony, Carmella, and Christopher could all go down this week. You know? Yeah. Like, that would never.
Except maybe the last one, right?
Right. But again, we're not at the last
Although one. I don't think Christopher was in the middle of that. What? Yeah, he was
already.
I think he might have been. I really need to rewatch The Sopranos. Everyone did that this year.
Yeah, we should do that for funsies.
All right. I think that the Hound, we got to talk about the Hound, right? Like the Hound starting to get a little bit selfless, right? Doesn't that feel like?
Because
how many times has he warned Arya, like, you get a little sentimental, it's going to get you killed, right?
Right.
And then in the last episode, he's like, I fought for you, didn't I? Right? I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. But, I mean, didn't he learn his lesson there?
I don't know. And the other thing I think in the Hound's favor in terms of survival is that we all want another Clegane battle.
And I think he's got to win that battle, right?
That seems to sort of be where... You know, that would be certainly a completion of his arc, right? So,
right. Like, I think he sticks around.
And then this one, to me, maybe the most likely to die that we haven't mentioned yet, Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah. Like,
he gone.
Yeah.
But like, that's what he wants. He's here to die.
He came to die. And yeah. He'll get his wish.
And you know what? After all this, I think he's earned a death.
I agree.
Maybe not. Not any awards or anything. I don't know that he earned that hug from Sansa. But
I also thought that was a little weird, to be honest.
Like, reasonable death.
I didn't think that was really all that settled between them. I thought maybe there was like that I had forgotten about a conversation or something that they had. I was very surprised at it.
No, I mean, he saved her life.
Yeah, but she was still pretty pissed, right? Wasn't she?
No. She was cool when they got out and he was like, let me go. To my sister.
Okay. All right. You're right.
I
think I forgot.
All right. I've got. Okay. He was like, I can't help you. Brienne's here. You're good. Let me go to my sister.
All right. Yeah. I think he's going to do one more heroic thing as he bites it.
Yeah. He'll save someone's life. He's going to take a bullet.
Yeah.
Theon's taking somebody's bullet.
Indeed. Hoping to. Yeah,
that might be the thing I am most confident in. In this episode, is that Theon's going to dive in front of an arrow or something for somebody.
Yeah. What about Samwell Tarly?
I like him to survive.
I kind of do, too.
I almost like him to have another unlikely hero moment, specifically maybe, like, saving someone he's not sure he likes, like Daenerys or something.
Yeah. I also feel like they're going to need him to know something at some point before the end of this, right?
Yeah. Sam is, like, the one educated person left in the world.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm more worried about Gilly.
Gilly, I can see Gilly dying a hero protecting the crypt as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I feel like it's a pretty good handicapping.
What do you think is the youngest person we'll see die?
Oh, man. Oh, I think.
See a baby get murdered?
I think there's a pretty good chance of it. You're definitely going to see children. I would assume that little girl that talked into going into the crypt is a goner.
Yeah.
So
right. You think she's the youngest, or are we going to see a baby get murdered?
I think there's a decent chance you might see a baby get murdered. Right. Like,
yeah. This show is vicious. We've seen a lot of baby murder already, so it's not that out of the realm of ordinary. Game of Thrones fodder.
I mean, I watched Hard Home recently, right? And there were a lot of pretty young wildlings. And there's that that scene at you know, where the mama confronts her, you know,
zombie
the White Walker babies. Yeah, you know what I mean. And those things, you know. So like, we know the White Walkers will go there.
Oh yeah, that's their whole thing. They love babies.
How many times is John going to give that, like, our enemy never tires? Our enemy, you know, they don't feel. Yeah. They don't. You
know. It takes a while to get things through people's thick skulls in the show.
It does. It does. A lot of thick skulls, like literally and figuratively, on Game of Thrones. It's, man, what a hole in our lives this thing is going to leave in four more weeks, you know?
A giant gaping maw.
And
fast, if you will.
I'm very hesitant to think that, you know, the prequel or whatever that's going to come next year is going to, like, all the way fill it, to be honest. You know, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I'm almost positive you're going to hate it.
You think I'm going to hate it? Yeah, there's a decent chance.
I think it's going to be not as good, and there's probably going to be more magic and dragons.
Right, and I'll be mad that it's not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I think there's a good
chance. But fingers crossed, because I'm going to watch it no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to get you to watch the like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah, it's going to be I'm having some serious Star Wars burn right now. Like I feel like I'm hitting my limit on the Star Wars.
Yeah, that's fair, and we're gonna have to watch the third of the trilogy.
Yeah, but like, do you? And this is a tangent, a motherlode tangent here. But like, do you feel like you have a good handle of like what's happening in the Star Wars universe right now? Like, I don't know that I can explain it to anybody.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and that seems problematic for me because like I feel like I know the first three Star Wars pretty damn well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like who's on what side right now? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, like it sounds like, at least from what I've read, that a lot of whatever this next movie is kind of resetting a lot of what happened in the last movie, which is like not what I need right now. So
no, it does not seem like this trilogy was particularly well executed.
Yeah, like I'm not real impressed with the way that this franchise is being caretaken, and given the fact that I think that they seem to have a lot of designs on monetizing it going forward. I'm not optimistic on Star Wars long term.
It's not great.
No. All right. I think that's all I got for GOT. Got anything else?
I think done enough.
We've done enough. it's tough but fair. God, what if they play golf in the prequel? Then it's gonna be just ugly.
All right. Okay.
All right. It's like the third round.
I love that the theme of today's podcast is a conversation we had before it started.
So great. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix. This is an anthology series. David Fincher is involved, which got me excited. I have a feeling that I enjoyed it more than you did. Just
really?
largely based on the idea that it's animated, but I could be wrong.
It's barely animated. It's like Beowulf animated. It's like eerily similar to real people.
Yes.
I watched three. The second one was there were no people. It was just robots, and that was my favorite.
Me too, because it was funny.
It was really funny. And here's one positive thing I can say about this. They're like 10 to 15 minutes long, so if you don't like it, it's over quickly.
Yeah, and it's an anthology, so it's like, you know, the next one's pretty – at least
yeah,
of the three we watched, they're very different. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And they all seem to be like, here's a thing. Whoa, here's a twist. Fun times. And that's fine. I thought the first one was eerily porny and pretty well-traveled territory with the computer trying to break in a human mind and like, going through the same tiresome process over and over again. Like, we've seen that concept infinity times in sci-fi.
Yeah.
And
then the third one was very porny.
The third one was... Well, the third one... I would say was similarly porny in that there was, like, a weird softcore porn scene, but also very murdery. And again, you know, interesting and twisty, but not, like... Oh, never could have seen that one come. You know, I mean, it's. I guess I would say two. I thought two of them were fine, and one was funny, and I don't know how super excited I am to watch more. But it's definitely a thing where it's like, why not throw on a couple if you got 20 minutes to kill?
I feel like if this was a thing that came on once a week on like Friday night on HBO, you know what I mean, and you were a little faded.
Yeah.
that's a good place for that. Like that's you know, that's a fun way to kill 20 minutes.
Or if it was like if every week one of these was like the you know how they used to do the like dumb cartoons before the other cartoon in the theater?
Yeah. Or like, you know, like there was a time when like you could just stumble into something weird on MTV. You know what I mean?
Or Adult Swim. This is very Adult Swim.
Yeah. Like if it just popped up for 20 minutes on Adult Swim, you'd be into it.
Yeah.
You know, not in a like, I'm going to make an appointment to watch this kind of way, but, you know, if it came into your life and you were in the right mood, it's pretty damn enjoyable.
Yeah, and I can imagine some of them could be really good, and some of them could be worse than any of the ones I watched yet. So, you know, I'm not opposed, but I don't think I'm, like, going to stand for this. You know, I get it.
Yeah, you can just feel the bar moving now, right? The peak TV bar moving of, yeah. Like, do I have time for more of these is a question that we are constantly asking ourselves, I feel like. Which maybe is a good transition to Hannah, because that's the, like, it's the question hanging over me that I can't quite answer right now.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed the second. I watched two. I don't know how many you watched.
I watched three.
I liked the second a lot more than I liked the first. I was pretty sure that it was not going to meet that bar for me after one.
Have you seen the movie?
I've not seen the movie. We talked about this a little bit last week. I know that you were, like, super into it.
Yeah, and I rewatched it before we watched the series. Very similar ground covered in the first three episodes for, in terms of the movie in the first three episodes. But I do think it's much more the show that was the second episode than the show that was the first.
That's good. I just, especially after the first, but in general, I feel like I've just seen this before. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Like, the
in what way?
Unexpected
what
looking, you know, killing machine. Like, it's, you know, it's just, it's like, it's a little bit of Bourne Identity. It's a little bit of Orphan Black. It's a little bit of, you know, like, yeah. Like, I feel like I've seen this. And
okay,
not all my favorite parts of those things either. You know what I mean?
All right. It's many of my favorite parts of those things. And I think it also, it's a fun, there's more of like a lighthearted, not lighthearted, I guess, but like, I don't know, the whole thing with the family and the other girl, that is what makes it interesting to me.
Yes, you're right. Like when the family appears in episode two, that is a big part of why I think I like the second episode more than the first.
Yeah.
But like, just the like, you know, we got her in the pen and we're going to, you know, interrogate her and no, wait, now she's going to kill everyone and get out. And like, it's, you know, all of that has felt very pro forma to me.
I agree. I agree with that. But my instinct is this is going to be more, the show's going to be more about her in the world than her in combat and in, you know, a lab. But I guess
I feel like it's going to be a lot of just Mirielino's chasing her.
Maybe,
you know, and not in a like this is part of, I think, what makes Killing Eve so great. Right. Because ostensibly all that really is that. But the relationship between those two characters in that show is so interesting and unexpected and charming. Right. That's really the crux of the show. Right. Whereas this is so far. You know, like I said, I'm only two episodes in, has been just much more of the, like, we're chasing you, I'm getting away. You know what I mean? So,
uh-huh.
That's, and so, you know, when you start factoring in, like, there's all the stuff to watch, you know, the damn NBA, you know, Dame Lillard is doing insane things at 1 o'clock in the morning in the NBA playoffs, right. You know, do I, like, where do I fit this in? You know what I mean? I got to come back and do more of this, you know? Like, I'm already having trouble keeping up with the stuff that I just watched, you know?
I hear you.
So
I don't disagree. I think this show is in that zone, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, like, it's not terrible. I really thought of the first one I was going to come on and murder it, but the second one turned me around a lot, so.
Yeah, and again, I sort of knew where it was heading vaguely based on the assumption it was following the general pattern of the movie. And it's not identical, but generally speaking, the pattern has been the same so far. So I kind of knew the family stuff and the relationship with this other girl was coming, and that is interesting to me. And that is the part that I, other than the movie, don't feel like we've seen much of.
Am I alone in not finding Joel Kinnaman all that compelling?
As an actor or yeah. as a sex object?
Well, I guess both. The sex object part I at least understand. You know what I mean?
Right. That's what I understand about him.
But like,
I think he's a pretty, he's kind, to me, he's just a poor man's, what's his face?
Skarsgård?
Yeah.
The big Skarsgård, I should say.
The young Skarsgård.
Why is he so much bigger than all the other Skarsgårds?
He's not. Stellan's huge.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Peter's not related, and Stellan's, his dad's tall, just not cut up like that.
Peter's not related at all?
I don't think so.
I thought he was. Oh, man.
We could look this up, but I don't believe he is.
All right, fair enough. But regardless, I don't know, man. I've seen him in a lot of stuff now, and I, you know, it's just, he just never does much for me.
He's very, yeah. Vanilla, he doesn't seem to do much.
I'm glad to know that I'm not alone.
I think this role sort of calls for that.
It does.
This is a good fit for his stony-faced style.
yes, I would agree with that. You could also say, like, what was the thing that we watched, the Netflix show that we watched? Yeah. What, you know, you could also say that fits his style. But
he's well cast, I guess, but I agree he's not particularly compelling.
Yeah, you're right. Peter Sarsgaard does not appear to be related to the other Sarsgaards. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I also didn't know he was married to Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
I should really just spend some more time on Wikipedia.
In the gossip rags or whatever, however people do that these days.
I guess so. All right. Let's talk about Huge in France.
Okay.
I did not find this to be a laugh out loud riot, which didn't mean I didn't find it charming. Like, I'm still sort of interested, and I kind of want to see where it goes.
Uh-huh.
But as a comedy, I'm not sure that the show completely worked for me. I'm surprised at how, like, one note the, like, say God joke is. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like even the characters on the show are tired of it at this point now.
But isn't that sort of the thing? Like,
I guess that's the thing, that he doesn't realize it when everyone else does, or I don't know,
yeah.
But like,
and
how many times can they do that? You know what I mean? Like, there's,
well, does, how many episodes have you watched?
Isn't there a shelf life on it? I think I watched like 4.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you this was a laugh riot. But I agree that it was charming, and I did. It's more of a chuckler than a, you know, riotous laughter. But I did chuckle a lot.
I felt like I was surprised at how, like, invested I am in the Jason Alan Ross character. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's, again, like, there's not a lot of, like, guffaws, but he's just funny.
Yeah.
Like, chuckle funny every time he's on the screen, basically. And he's so sincere. The actor doing it is doing a great job.
Yes. Yeah, no, the actor, that is Matthew Del Negro.
Yeah.
Killing it. Killing it, I think, as Jason.
Which is crazy because, oh, no, never mind.
You were thinking he was related to Vinny Del Negro? Is that where you're going?
No, I knew someone named Matthew Del Carlo.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
Matthew Del Negro is a very that guy, right? Like,
yes.
Like, you've
Although
seen
I'm not
him
even
in stuff.
Sure he is, you know what I mean? But he's like, he's that guy, even if I maybe haven't seen him that much before.
Well, here's, I'll give you a few shows that he's appeared in. Okay. Sopranos.
Yeah.
Law and Order.
Uh-huh.
West Wing.
Right.
Scandal. CSI. Yeah. Happy
all
Endings.
All the biggies.
Yeah, there's NCIS.
Oh, of course. Gotta mix in an NCIS.
United States of Terra, Rizzoli and Isles. So, like, you probably, I know you don't watch about half of those shows, would be my guess. But you probably run into him a few places. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I've seen him before.
Yeah. I'm still really sad that I never got you into West Wing.
Yeah, man. Like, it's just time-wise, it's tough.
Yeah. That one and The Shield. The Shield is like, that's the one I'm still holding out that maybe one day I can get you to watch The Shield. I know we tried with West Wing.
Yeah.
All right. You're like, oh, let's move on.
I'm not opposed to The Shield. I just don't know. Like, literally, here's the thing. I would watch The West Wing. When am I going to watch the damn West Wing?
It's going to have to be in the middle of summer, right? When there's
maybe
a break. When there's a break. You know what
so
I mean?
In the middle of the summer, when we're bored as hell, you're just going to have to pick what's most important to you and make me binge it.
I think it's going to be The Shield because right now I'm just curious to see for myself how The Shield holds up since it's been a minute since I visited it.
Okay.
And I think it'll be more your speed. You know what I mean? Because you don't have to worry about the – I don't want to think about politics part of it. All right. Yeah. Let's you want to talk about the NBA? Because I feel like we should get into this real quick.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. So, look, you know, Dame Lillard is the talk of the NBA right now. Deservedly so. With an epic buzzer beater last night. Do you know that it's only the sixth time that a playoff series has ever been won on a buzzer beater? Like a true buzzer beater?
Sixth?
Sixth time. And Dame's done it twice.
How many were Jordan?
Also twice. Both against Cleveland.
Wait, the... Oh, yeah, no, the Jazz one's not a buzzer beater.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not that surprising, but it's a little misleading.
The other two people to do it are John Stockton and Ralph Sampson.
Yeah. Again, that's not shocking, but it's a little misleading.
A little, right, because there's a lot of, like... Shot winning with 0.4 left, or you know, right. What I mean, those kind of.
There's
things.
A lot of effective buzzer beaters that don't count.
Correct. Yeah, like there was an Alonzo Mourning one that I think a lot of people were talking about today.
Yeah.
But what just you know to hit that shot and to do the wave in a series where they're all this was trash talking. I'm glad that Dame is having a moment.
Yes.
Where? How many guys in the league would you take ahead of him right now?
That's a good question.
I got to six definitively, and I think
okay,
there
let's
are three.
Go. Hold on. Okay. You have your six?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll give you clearly, you're taking Giannis, Kawhi, Steph, KD, LeBron. That's five. Is that five of your six?
I do not have Kawhi. Kawhi's in my maybes.
Oh.
Not in my definitely.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see. But assuming he's fully healthy moving forward, I think
right, some of that's health. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, you'd have to take Kawhi.
The one guy that to me is a definite that you did not mention was Harden.
Yeah, although that's really close. I'm not sure I would take Harden.
Interesting. All right. My definition.
See, here's my principle on that. I understand what James Harden has done. There's no diminishing his accomplishment this year.
And it's not like it's just this year.
No, and his offensive skill level is incredible, and his accomplishments this year in particular are incredible.
The other thing
hold on.
Okay.
What, besides effectively draw fouls, what does James Harden do better than Damian Lillard?
I would say he's a better passer.
Oh, I disagree. Did you watch the end of that game?
I did watch the – look, I'm not saying, like, he's light years of a better passer.
Okay, I mean, he might be a slightly better passer, but Damian Lillard is a great passer.
Yeah,
he's also
yeah.
a better shooter, a stronger driver around the rim, in my opinion. Harden, better at drawing fouls. Lillard, better at actually finishing. He's a better free throw shooter, I believe.
He is a better free throw shooter, yeah. But not he, not not he in defends, a marginally better
he defends
way.
More consistently, if not like
yeah, you lose me a little bit there. Like that's he a, does. That's the thing. On. That's the thing I'm I would say going, is like the stuff that you can say about Harden's game that you know that he doesn't play defense, he hasn't done in the playoffs, you know what I mean, are all things that apply to Lillard, right? So
no, see, I don't think so. Harden has epic playoff collapses. Lillard has bad playoff teams. Like there's a difference to me. And
yes,
again, Harden's
never been swept
before, but I'm not sure if I'm drafting and those are the two best players available. I think it's close. I don't know. You're probably right. Harden probably goes slightly ahead, but it's real close.
Yeah.
I'm certainly taking him ahead of Westbrook.
Yes.
I think there's some interesting ones with like, I think Kyrie is interesting. Yeah,
here's you want my interesting list, and you can tell me. Right, Kyrie is interesting
Kyrie's
to me.
On there.
Kawhi, okay. You know,
Embiid is on there.
Yep, yeah. And then to me, Anthony Davis, and those are the guys I think about.
On there, and maybe even it just jumped out of my brain. What was I going to say?
I don't know. Did you say LeBron? You have LeBron ahead of him still, right? LeBron
in the first group.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced of the death of LeBron just yet.
No, me neither. But I will say, you know, Dame has made the playoffs every year.
You know, I think Jimmy Butler is in the conversation, although I would
not for me.
Take Lillard right now.
Not for me. That's not close for me.
Man, we've seen him do some stuff.
I like Jimmy Butler, but he's a level down for me.
I don't know. He does defend.
Yep.
He's also hit big shots in big moments.
I just don't think he's close to the scorer that or shooter that
Dame
is.
Talented,
or passer,
but
for that matter.
He's not as talented, but he's pretty damn effective. I don't know. The
Jimmy
defense
a good
counts
player.
A lot for me.
I mean, wouldn't you say Jimmy Butler's the third best player on his own team at the moment, though?
No. I think he's probably second.
I would. You could make a case he's fourth. I wouldn't, but you can.
Who's second for you, Simmons?
What? Yeah, Simmons is second.
Yeah, I think Butler's better than Simmons right now.
But just the fact to me that, you know, Butler and Tobias Harris is a conversation tells you he's not as good as Dame.
I don't think it is. Tobias Harris is just he's just a worse version of Jimmy Butler, except he shoots the three better.
I think the Sixers are going to pick Harris over Butler when it comes off season.
They might, but I think that's a personality issue, not a basketball.
That counts too, doesn't it? Right? Like how they are to have on your team counts.
I guess, but it depends. Whatever. That gets very complicated.
If you're saying who would you rather have, the Sixers would rather have Tobias Harris, I think. I'm not saying that's the decision I would make, but I think that's the decision they're going to make.
Okay, but in saying who do I want as the third guy on a team with two young guys I hope to be stars is a different question than who am I taking, you know, this guy or this guy. Yeah. Starting,
but that's the second time he sort of failed the question of who do I want to be the third guy in a team with two young players.
I really look at to me it's Minnesota who failed the first time.
Yeah, well, look, I agree with that.
But it's not Jimmy Butler; it's Tom Thibodeau and the Minnesota ownership.
But and Minnesota also didn't ask out of that situation, right? So
and they failed and failed and failed and failed.
Well, that's what they're Minnesota. That's what they do.
Yeah. So that to me is not, but whatever. You're right. Lillard's ahead of Butler anyway right now. So we don't need to debate Jimmy Butler. I just love his, who he is as a leader, like the way he comports himself, the way he gives a post game interview. I just love this guy.
I agree. He seems to be an all world teammate in every respect. And that's
and
always
the
been
way,
the rap.
That shot he took, as absurd as it was to pull up from that distance, 9 for 15 from that distance in the series.
Yeah, it didn't feel absurd at all, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it was crazy that was the shot of all things, you know, especially as good as he can be going to the rim and as much as he had done driving and kicking in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
That was just the ultimate, no, this is, it's Dame time, man. Like, that's the kind of confidence that makes legends.
Yeah. No, that was a legendary performance last night. You know what I mean? That's just that's one of those, like, my God, basketball is great. You know what I mean? Like, kind of just one of those moments, right?
Yeah, and you know, I don't know that I totally agree, but a lot of people felt like, you know, for Damian Lillard to rise into the level we're talking about of top 10, maybe even pushing towards the top five. He's not in it, but he's pushing towards it. He had to have a moment like that.
Yep.
Narrative is always part of the story for NBA superstars.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Portland, San Antonio, Denver, one of those teams is in the Western Conference Finals. Which one is it?
Oh, it's Portland.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I mean, here's the thing about Denver.
Which seemed unthinkable when Nurkic got hurt, right?
Yes, but it did not seem unthinkable once the seeding was established.
Yes, fair. That's fair.
I didn't pick it, but it wasn't unthinkable.
That is fair.
Once you saw they would only have to beat a somewhat injured and Russell Westbrook-led Thunder team and either Denver or San Antonio, them in the Western Conference Finals became very conceivable. And frankly, I'm here for it.
Yeah, although I don't know how well they're going to match up against the Rockets.
Is the one we want to see.
Yeah.
But I'm still here for Damian Lillard in the conference finals.
Yeah. Although, look, you can't count out Denver because if Jamal Murray has four great games in a series, they can beat almost anybody.
No, I'm never picking that team.
I wouldn't pick them either, but you can't count them out. You know what I mean?
You're right. But this is the it's not the same as the Russell Westbrook problem because Murray just disappears.
Yes, agreed.
Like, Russell Westbrook hurts you, but he never disappears.
Sometimes you'd like him to.
I guess, but there's like a grudging respect to that, even if you, like, someone like me feels like you're probably never going to win anything with Russell Westbrook. I also am like, hey man, at least he's, you know, he's shooting a shot. He's going down firing.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to understand, especially when, like, it's one thing when you're a young guy and there's veterans you're deferring to. There's nothing on this Denver team. And that's the problem is there's nobody you trust to be there consistently when you need them on this team. Because
yep.
it just can't be a center. That's not how the NBA works. There's got to be a guy who can step to the moment as a ball handler. There just has to be.
Yeah. Is Jamal Murray just like best case Andrew Wiggins?
Well, no. He's more like worst case Damian Lillard or something. Right? Because sometimes he's Damian Lillard. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, he's shooting from 5 feet beyond the arc and he just dunked on somebody. This is incredible. And other times it's like, is Jamal Murray playing tonight?
Yeah. So, like, for whole games, he'll be like that. That's why I brought up the Wiggins thing, because Wiggins
which
can
is
be
the
that
thing where it's
too.
Yeah, you're right. Usually the guys that we think of as pulling disappearing acts are like, you know, Wiggins, Marvin Williams, Luol Deng, like lanky small forwards who never seem to convert all of their physical potential. It's weird when an aggressive attacking guard suddenly vanishes.
Yeah. Yep. You kind of wonder how it happens, but it does seem to keep happening. Like, they're no, you know, like I said, like, I could see the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, but I also see them very much losing in this first round. So,
And the Spurs just don't have enough.
Yeah.
Like, the Spurs barely have enough to beat the Nuggets when the Nuggets do stink.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I'm almost glad that Jamal Murray is a bit of a mystery, though, right? Because there wouldn't be any interesting first round series if that wasn't happening, right?
Yeah, this is pretty much it.
We're kind of done. So
yeah, all that excitement after the upsets in the first weekend, and it pretty much amounted to nothing.
Yep, and like we'd just be talking about what are the Thunder going to do?
Yeah,
you know, I don't know the answer to that, man. I don't know how I would fix that team.
You can't. You're gonna live your life with Russell Westbrook and top out around round two.
Yeah, seems to be what it is. I mean. What, they won four playoff games in the solo Westbrook era? They won four playoff games? Is that right?
Sure, but you can't trade him. Can't trade him. Can't trade Paul George. Are you going to trade Steven Adams? Okay. I guess you could. You're shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic, no matter what you're doing. If Russell Westbrook is your best player, you're You're not winning a title.
Yeah. They got some contract issues. I think they would love to get out from under Adams. And I just don't – I mean, he makes so much money. I don't know how you even do it. So
you know, what's interesting is he's still good. But the question is it worth paying any guy whose skill set is that the amount of money he makes?
No. And I didn't feel like that was a great series for him.
No, but he was pretty damn good in the last game. I mean, he has his moments. He's still very effective in certain ways.
Yep.
But he can only play in certain matchups.
One more thing, apropos of nothing. Enos Kanter tweeting can play Kanter was epic. That's an epic performance from Enos postgame.
He's excellent.
I really do. I enjoy the Enos experience.
I mean, you don't have to like him, but like, he is hashtag content. He is
all the time.
All the time.
Thank you, the Knicks, for waving him at the podium.
On and off the floor.
So great.
He's just as bizarre and sometimes incredible and sometimes shockingly bad on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all those things.
Yeah, you know? he's the full package. He even has political drama. It truly is. Yeah, he's a hero of the modern sports media and sports landscape.
I think someday there will be a really great HBO documentary about Enos Kanter.
There's got to be, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm stunned that Real Sports hasn't really taken a crack at him yet.
Well, because he also seems like the sort of guy that when he is done, like, he's going to do some interesting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he could have a real interesting life. Yeah. All right. The NBA playoffs has been a joy. It's made it hard to do homework, which is why I forgot to watch the new Negroes this week. So,
yeah, you blew it. So we'll have two episodes to talk about for next week.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. And we're going to give a shot to this Tim Robinson thing. Is that right? Or were you out on that?
No, I'm, I'll do it.
I have no prior knowledge other than Seth Meyers tweeted the other day that we should really watch it. It's super funny. Okay. And then each episode is 20 minutes long.
prepared to check it out if Seth Meyers says it's great.
The actual name of the show is, I lost it on here. Hold on. It's something with Tim Robinson. Where the hell did it go? Damn it. Oh, here it is. I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson on Netflix.
Okay.
it's probably good advice. And I think that's all we had for homework, right?
Are you saying you think we should leave?
I think you should leave.
Okay, bye.
Golf still sucks.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.